Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Great. All warm and toasty. You look bundled up, so that's nice. Welcome to those of you who are online. You can put in the chat, how are you doing, and I'll go look at it later. Last time I said that, I went and looked and nobody put anything in the chat, so that made me sad. So I'm going to look this time. Well, let's pray and then get into the word. Father, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. Thank you for your mercies, your grace to us as individuals and as a church. Thank you that we can come to you with these requests of healing for our sicknesses and requests of comfort for our uncertainty and our unease. And thank you for meeting us here consistently each morning and each Sunday morning specifically, and accepting our praise and hearing our prayers and our cries and speaking back to us through your word. We pray for you to speak to us this morning, and also with the sirens that I heard when I came up here, we pray for whoever is being attended to, that they would be safe, you would take care of them and get them the medical attention that they need, and that situation will work out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in chapter 2, verse 17, going all the way through the end of chapter 3, verse 13. The title for our study is Social Distanced from Church. So, fairly relevant to what we're experiencing today. So in last week's episode of 1 Thessalonians that we covered, we saw that Paul was recounting the way that the church at Thessalonica, remember, this is all a letter from Paul to a church that he's separated from. And so he's recounting to this church at Thessalonica the way that they received the gospel in order to remind them of his impact on their lives and the Lord's impact on their lives. And we ended the passage last week reading about how the church was persecuted because they received the gospel, because they trusted in Jesus, they were persecuted as a result. So this week, Paul's continuing on that train of thought and writing about how another result of this persecution is that Paul himself is having to be distanced from the church. He's not able to go see the church as he would like to because of this persecution. It's a safety concern that if he shows up, that he and other Christians could die or be attacked because of it. So this separation from the church that Paul is feeling is easy for us to understand in our world of separation because of COVID. So we can share in Paul's struggle in this passage, how he's struggling through remote ministry in his own context. He didn't have the internet, but in his own writing letters, sending people context. We can feel Paul's struggles as he's trying to faithfully persevere through this uneasy time for him as a leader and as a pastor. We can feel Paul's struggle as he has hope for the future and share in that hope with him. And that's what we'll do this morning. So we'll starting in chapter 2, verse 17, going through verse 5 of chapter 3. We're focusing on Paul being hit with this remote ministry and learning how to deal with that remote ministry. Let's read in verse 17 through the end of chapter 2. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. In these verses, we see Paul's ministry is being delayed to the Thessalonians. He feels he has more to serve them with, to lead them with, to disciple them, and he's held back. We're experiencing something similar now. with our ministry at the church being delayed in multiple ways. In verse 17, Paul, being forced to leave Thessalonica due to this persecution, didn't stop him from desiring to be there. It wasn't like he just got discouraged from, well, I guess I'm moving on from Thessalonica and I'll go, because he's on a giant missionary journey all over the region. So he's stopping at a bunch of different churches, yet he's still thinking back to Thessalonica and his heart is still desiring to be there with them. Now, you've heard the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And we easily understand this when it has to do with our family members and our close friends. It makes sense to us, especially now during COVID, now that Morgan and I are in the house all day together. Sometimes we just go to separate rooms for a little bit during the day and just to spend some time apart and, you know, spend some alone time and then come back for dinner or lunch. And it's such a grand dinner or lunch together. So we get this idea with our like close friends and family of just being apart and then desiring or missing someone, wanting to be with them, right? What would it be like, or could you imagine having the same desire for your church family? And I think, honestly, this is probably something that a lot of us do understand in this church specifically, that I've seen a lot of us missing being with our church family and talking about how we miss being with our church family in the way that it used to be in person and without restrictions and such. But I think also there's probably some of us who haven't ever felt this before, haven't ever felt close enough to a church to truly call that church family and truly feel the type of way that you would feel about your close family and friends. And we're seeing Paul actually experiencing this. We're seeing our church actually experiencing this. And if you're one of the people who haven't felt this before, you're invited to feel this with us now, of you're truly a part of this church family. And we truly enjoy the encouragement and just being around each other and just the love of being in the presence of and growing together and supporting each other. And we all truly desire to have that in fullness in a way that COVID restricts us from. In verse 18, Paul blames Satan for orchestrating the persecution and events that held him from the church. Now, we can certainly blow this out of proportion. I don't think there's any reason for us to consider COVID-19 some giant hoax. But at the same time, it's clear in Scripture that Satan would do anything he possibly could to get the most evil results out of something like COVID. He would certainly try to establish something like COVID. He would certainly try to make it worse than it was if it came into existence apart from Satan. So we can both not ignore the fact that Satan has a hand in this, while also, we understand that Satan has a hand in this, while also not focusing all of our attention on what giant satanic conspiracy is trying to attack our church. The balance there becomes focusing on Jesus. And that might sound like an easy answer to any question in church. But truthfully, just like any other scenario where the situation of life comes in our way, or Satan reaches out to try to hinder us, in any of those scenarios, the answer, in COVID being one of them, is to focus ourselves on Jesus. What is God calling me to do? What is God calling me to do today during this COVID time? How is God kind of directing me and helping me navigate how I respond to this scenario and what decisions I make for me and my family and how I love others with these restrictions? So our approach is the same, regardless of the degree to which Satan's involved in COVID. And Paul is certainly not shy of saying that, well obviously Satan would want to use COVID for the worst possible that he could accomplish. But for us, we don't have any fear. there's nothing Satan can do to us that the Lord doesn't have control over, or that that should frighten us in any sense, COVID or not. So all that we're doing is locking our eyes on Christ and asking the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to guide us, asking the Lord, what does he want us to do step by step, day by day? And we find a ton of comfort and peace and confidence in the Lord in that approach, no matter what comes against us. In verses 19 and 20, Paul identifies the church's salvation as what brings him hope and joy and gives him a reason to rejoice. This past Friday, the young adults group that I used to be a part of at Calvary Chapel La Mirada down south, they had a young adults event that was called, I want to make sure I get it right, Our Country is Heaven, Our King is Jesus. Yes, yes, that's what I thought when I read it as well. So I didn't get to attend this event because obviously I'm here, not in Southern California. But knowing this group, having poured my heart into this group for years, and knowing who's leading the group, our friend Pastor Josh, who helped lead worship for us during our fully remote days, knowing that this church in Southern California, that this group of people that I love dearly are following the Lord and having an amazing Bible study, that's joy enough. Not to mention that they're studying something that completely lines up with what we're studying. That we just got through the book of Daniel talking all about how our identity is in Christ's kingdom and how God is our true king, and that gives us peace. And that ties right into Thessalonians as we're focusing in on our church and how much joy that I can get out of knowing that not only are they healthy and having a great study this past Friday, but also that there's some sort of a unity between us, churches that are miles away, some sort of a unity where we're being spoken to in similar ways by the Lord. The type of joy that Paul is speaking about here is the type of joy that a parent would have when they see their child succeed, when they see their child have joy and be happy. That type of joy is the type of joy that Paul has seeing this church and seeing this church thriving and seeing this church trusting in the gospel. So this is Paul initially reacting to him being separated from the church, his ministry to the church being delayed. Let's read verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For, in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. So, after kind of seeing Paul's reaction to his ministry being delayed to the church, Paul then sends a minister on his behalf. Paul can't bear the thought of the church being left alone to be persecuted during this early stage in their Christian life. This church had just accepted the gospel and just was starting to figure out what being a church means. And Paul had to leave in that environment without missing out on teaching them a ton of things. And so he couldn't bear the thought of how they were feeling being left alone in this persecution. So he sends Timothy, one of his brothers and someone who he discipled, Timothy having less attention on him, less people would have known who he was and less people would have tried to persecute him from going. So he sends Timothy to disciple and lead the church on his behalf. And I share this feeling with Paul. It's been extremely tough to know that our church has been separated for major moments throughout the year. That there's been tons of very serious struggles with the people in our congregation that I haven't been able to visit and talk to and just be with. That we were fully remote for a while, and there was all of that distance. And even now, there's a significant part of our congregation who we're still remote from as it is. And even here in person, it's amazing, but having to be 6 feet apart and wear a mask is, you know, frustrating, trying to hear people and not being able to hug people and care for them in that way. I can share this feeling with Paul, but as Paul sent Timothy to disciple and lead the church, we have sent our online ministry capacities, our social distanced church. We have put in time and resources in figuring out ways to make tents work, make the technology work, set up safety precautions, get online small group ministries for men's, women, and children available, get conversation groups online, get our website to a place that could be can function for a lot of our ministries and get a significant presence on Facebook to reach out to people. We've done this in the place of where Paul's sending Timothy. We're sending all of these COVID ministry opportunities. And that's why this men's group and this women's group who have their last week of the year coming this next week have been such a huge staple to many people in our church of connection and deep personal ministry that you can't always get through the limitations of our COVID scenario. And so just as Paul's sending Timothy, we as a church are sending these COVID-friendly ministry opportunities. In verse 3, Timothy helps the church grow during this persecution. That's what he goes to do. And this is actually a calling and a mission from God to them. That God's calling them to endure through persecution, calling the church to endure through persecution, and not just endure through persecution, but also continue to grow through this persecution. And Timothy's there to help lead and pastor them and guide them through that process. Actually, Paul actually mentions in verse 4 that he predicted that this would come to pass. From his experience with many different churches in the area experiencing persecution, he knew that this church would experience persecution as well. Now, this time for us, this time in 2020, this time in COVID, this time with the political environment, this is not a time for us to get discouraged about Christianity in America. And it is not a time for us to get discouraged about how our church will survive the next coming months and years. Because we know from Scripture that God calls us to not only go through struggles and difficult times, but to grow through struggles and difficult times. So that applies to us, you know. We're expecting, like, even if COVID didn't happen, we would expect tough things to come our way as a church and as individuals and in individual family units and such. We expect for this tough things to happen. And so COVID fits within our worldview like that. And that doesn't knock us off our path. We stay encouraged and we are confident in the Lord's work at our church and confident in the Lord's work in our lives because we expect for things like COVID and more struggles to come in the future. And God is still going to work in us and through us in all of these struggles. In verse 5, Paul sent Timothy to learn if the church had fallen into temptation, so fallen away from their faith, taken in some of the false doctrine that they were being told, maybe fallen into immorality. And though we have confidence in the work that God's doing, as we just mentioned, in our church and in our lives, there is also a real danger to our faith and the faith of those around us. Some are going to fall away from the faith during this time. And I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about the Christian church in general in America. Some are going to fall away from their faith because they don't have that constant accountability of being in person with other believers and in churches. And they're going to see the church struggling, working through how to be a church in this new world that we're all new to, and that's going to discourage some people. Some people are going to take this opportunity to transition out of being a part of a local church body. Some people are going to feel like watching some sermon online alone is enough for their Christian life. All of those things are opportunities or dangers to the Christian experience in this time. So, in general, the church is responsible for each other. Like, we're responsible to support each other and encourage one another and reach out to each other and help hold each other accountable. But even more so now, even more so when we have these extra barriers of separation between us, are we called as a church to help support each other, to not let one of us fall away or be discouraged or get into a place of loneliness or depression because of what's going on around us and what's going on in their lives? Even more so now, because we're restricted, do we even have this greater responsibility as a church to reach out to every single person that we know in the church and bring them into the fold and keep holding on and encouraging and strengthening each other together? Because it's a dual thing. We have a confidence in the work that the Lord's doing, and we also have a responsibility to love each other during a time that's trying to attack our faith, trying to attack our confidence in the Lord and our connection to the church. Okay, so this first section of Paul dealing with this remote ministry. He's experiencing not being able to do all of the ministry that he would expect to be able to do, so he sends Timothy in his place, and now we get to see in verses 6 through 13 of chapter 3, Paul's faithful perseverance while he's experiencing this remote ministry. Let's read in verses 6 through 10. "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith." So here, Paul is receiving a report back. He sent Timothy to the church, and Timothy returns with a report back of how the church is doing. And Timothy reports back that the church has extraordinary faith and love for each other, faith in the Lord and love for one another and care for Paul even, that they haven't forgotten Paul or believed the false rumors about him, but they still really cherish Paul and his service and his love of them. I actually had this conversation with multiple people in our church this week, multiple times this week, where we're praising God for how faithful the people of our church have been through this time. That through such unknowns and so many changes and so many restrictions, that so many people in our church have stayed strong, have stayed connected, have reached out to one another, have supported one another, have served, have loved one another. During this time of COVID, our church has adopted Morgan and I into the church. During this time of COVID, our church has adopted new people who have started attending the church in person and online. People who haven't attended our church for years who are coming back, and our church bringing them in and loving them. And even more so for the people who have been here for years and years and years, having the heart to look to the Lord about what the Lord wants to do in their life, how the Lord wants to grow us and them, how the Lord wants to work in a different way than they've experienced before. That's amazing. The faith of our church and the growth of our church and in my case, me experiencing being adopted into this church as a family member, I mean, all during 2020, all during COVID. Our report is the same beautiful report that Paul gets from Timothy, that even during this time of struggle, our faith has been strong in the Lord, our love for one another has grown, and our care for each other has continued. In verses 7 and 8, the church's steadfast faith was encouraging to Paul during Paul's hardships. As Paul is evading persecution and struggling with not being with the church, hearing about the church's strong faith is encouraging him. And how often have I stood in a group of believers at church, away from church, praying for, laying hands on someone who's struggling? Maybe it's someone who recently lost a spouse. Maybe it's someone who's recently been diagnosed with cancer. Someone who's struggling with infertility. Any one of these deep heart issues. And I see the church and we gather around this person. And we lay hands on them. We pray for them. Not laying hands during COVID. But we pray for them. We encourage them. And I see not only is the Lord working in this person as we pray, the Lord ministering, the Holy Spirit ministering to their heart, but also the faith of the Christians around this hurting person encouraging and strengthening their faith. That I am not alone, that I may be hurting, I may be sick, I may have lost someone, but I'm not alone. I have the Lord ministering to me in this moment, and I have my brothers and sisters in Christ gathering around me who are all confident in the Lord's work in my life, and I can be confident with them. The strength of Christians' faith supporting other Christians' faith. Morgan and I have been praying for Calvary Chapel Stockton for years. We just didn't know it. We spent years praying for a church just like this, knowing that God has called us to a church like this, but not knowing when or where that would take place. And even when we moved to this general area from Southern California, we knew God was calling us to this general area, but not exactly where or not exactly when. And yet, when it came time to actually make the decision, COVID was in its worst. It had just opened up. Everything was completely closed down. And when it comes down to that moment where is this what God's calling us to do? This is a huge decision, moving to a different city and transitioning into a church during such an unstable time, during COVID. And many other unknowns. When it comes down, that's a hard decision to make, even though we had been praying for years for this very decision. And honestly, the faith that this church had prior to Morgan and I coming here was a huge encouragement in our faith. Knowing that this church had already gone through difficult times and transitions and uncertainty and unknowns, and that the love for each other had stayed strong, and that the faith in the Lord had stayed strong, that was a huge encouragement to us in making our decision to join this congregation. Furthermore, when I called up other Calvary pastors, talked to them about this church and about the potential of us coming, those Calvary pastors, having experienced similar things in their ministries, having faith in what the Lord could do at this church and would do at this church, some pastors who have discipled me and who have mentored me, just feeling so confident in the Lord calling us here and what the Lord's plan was for Calvary Stockton, that helped my faith. That strengthened my faith. And so as Christians and as a church, we strengthen each other with the faith that we have for the Lord. In verse 9 and 10, Paul rejoices, thanks, and prays to God for the faith of the church. And he wants to continue to disciple them and help them grow. And specifically, Paul's looking forward to being able to do this in person. Now, in addition to praising God for this church, I desire also, with Paul, to help disciple and grow this church. And honestly, this is very difficult to do in COVID world. It's very difficult to help disciple and strengthen and encourage and love on a church while we're remote in many cases. At best, we're social distance like this. But in many cases, we're on Google Meet and we're, you know, watching online and we're chatting, texting, calling, etc. But God has called us to grow during this time, not just exist. And God is preparing us now for when we're fully in person again. So the time that we spend right now as a church and the time in ministry right now is not in vain. We're not coasting. We're not just trying to make it through. That right now is meaningful. This moment is meaningful to us as a church because we're all growing together individually and as a congregation. And the what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives and in this church right now is going to have lasting effects long past COVID. Lasting effects into the future of our lives, future of our families' lives, the future of this church family's life. Let's read in verses 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So after getting this faithful report from Timothy, Paul is now responding to this report in the form of his faithful desires that he's praying to God. Paul's first prayer in verse 11 is for God to bring Paul physically to the church. And our first prayer is to be in person as much as we possibly can, as soon as we possibly can. But as Paul, we understand there's a timing to that. There's the Lord's timing to that. So as Paul was avoiding danger to himself and the church through persecution, we're avoiding danger to ourselves and the church through COVID. Yet we're praying for and looking forward to and doing everything we can to be as much in person as we can, as soon as we can, while still adhering to those safety guidelines as Paul is here. Verse 12, Paul's second prayer for God is for God to increase their love for one another. And he uses himself and his love for the church as an example of that. During this time, we're not asleep. The Lord is working in us and our church. He's working through our lives and working through the ministries that we have at this church. And God is calling us to continue to love and serve each other. And that's why we're working to set up, for those of us who are coming in person, we've set up three different ministry opportunities for us to serve each other in person. One with the tent and chairs, one with the media ministry, one with the hospitality ministry. For those who are online, and for those of us who are in person now but are online during the week, that's why we have these opportunities for the men's and women's groups to serve each other That's why we share clips and video things on Facebook so that we can help encourage one another throughout the week, and we can share that on with other friends and family throughout the week. We develop these, our children's ministry team works tirelessly to develop these amazing children's ministry videos so that our kids who are not able to be in a normal children's ministry can be ministered to. And we have that backlog on our children's page of a bunch of different children's ministry videos each week back to like June or something. And for those of you who know children who are at other churches who don't have children's ministries during this time, or children who didn't normally go to church, there's an opportunity to reach out to them with those children's ministry videos as well. But this is not a time where we're asleep, but we're increasing our love for one another right now. And Paul's third prayer in verse 13 is for God to grow their hearts holy and blameless. This is the process that we talked about the last couple weeks called sanctification. Sanctification is us becoming, is the Christian becoming more and more like Jesus. So this sanctification, us growing in God, happens from the time that we're saved all the way until the time that Christ comes. There's no pause there for COVID. The sanctification, growing in the Lord, doesn't wait for COVID to clear up before that continues. So our sanctification as individuals and as a church doesn't stop just because the world around us is different. We continue from the moment that we are saved until Christ returns, and as a church, we're active in ministry. We're active in encouraging one another, and we're active in growing together in Christ. Everything we're doing as a church has a very specific purpose. The Lord has led us to do that activity, and it's not in vain. We're not doing anything just because we feel like we should or just because other people are doing it. We're doing everything because as much as we can, we're following the Lord's leading. We're following how God is speaking to us through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit. Every ministry that we have going on right now is to help serve and love and grow us together as a church, even during COVID. And I might even say, especially during COVID. We're trying to go the extra mile to keep loving and growing together as a church. So, you know, Paul had this journey in this passage himself where he's realizing, hey, my ministry's delayed, so let me send Timothy to go check on the church. Oh, hear back from Timothy. Sounds like the church is doing great. That's awesome. Now let me pray and plan for the future and grow now for the future. And we're doing the same here at the church. We've adjusted. Things are different in COVID. And we've sent the unique means of ministry, the social distance ministry and online ministry to reach people. And we've heard that our church is doing well. And now we're praying for the future, growing now, preparing for what God has for us down the line. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being with us during COVID and in social distance and all this remote stuff. And how unique is it that you plan to speak to us through this passage, how you had a relationship with Paul and you had a call for Paul in this church in Thessalonica thousands of years ago that somehow relates to what we're going through right in this moment. And through your Spirit, you have spoken to us about how you want to interact with us now, how you have plans for us today and how you've orchestrated things that we can already see the evidence of. So we're in awe of this work that you've done in our lives and in this church. If you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a second longer, church, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus for salvation, you've never given your life to him, maybe you're in the neighborhood and you're hearing this somewhere and you've never trusted Jesus. Maybe you're online listening to this now and you've never trusted Jesus. You've heard this morning this family that this church has become and this church is and that the church of God is. This family of brothers and sisters who are adopted into the kingdom of God, forgiven of our sins, healed of many of our wounds, and given a hope for what Christ has planned. And God is inviting you right now to that. So if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus, if you're in this neighborhood and you're listening and you've never trusted Jesus, if you're online, you've never trusted Jesus, raise your hand, come forward, reach out to us online, and I'd love to pray with you. Does anybody want to come forward now or raise their hand now so that I could pray for them, either here in person or in the neighborhood? I'll pray for those of you who are online who've decided that you've wanted to accept Jesus. Father, I thank you for their hearts turning to you now. I pray that you accept their plea, that they see the truth of what Jesus did on the cross, dying for their sins and raising from the dead to give them eternal life, new life. That right now they would hand over their current life to you, trust you with that, and accept your free gift. Accept your love, accept your adoption of them. Accept you bringing them into our family. Father, I pray that they cry out to you in this moment and trust you with the rest of their lives. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a second longer, if we're here and we've already trusted Jesus, but we've seen how the Lord is working and desires to work through our church and through your life during COVID, and you'd like prayer either for the particular struggle you're going through in COVID or for your connection to the church, that you want to grow in love with the church for one another and grow in service with the church for each other and be a part of the work that the Lord's doing in all of us. If either of those things apply to you, if you want to raise your hand, I'd love to pray for you. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody else want to be included in this prayer? Those of you who are watching online and raising your hands, I'll pray for you as well. Father, thank you for all of these who have heard you speak to them about your love and care for them during COVID and your plan for this church during COVID. And as an example that you have set of your love, that these have raised their hands asking to be a part of what you have called them to already, to be a part of this loving family, this local church, and to be a part of the work that you're doing in their lives and in this church during COVID. Pray that you help them with the challenges that have come in 2020, both COVID-related and not COVID-related. And you help them with the disconnect, the separation that they felt. And you help them be a part of this growing in love and growing in trust and growing in faith in you that is running rampant in our church right now. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us and with us, and we really truly look forward to what you're doing in the future. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.